Coming up on America Tonight, hey everybody, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and everywhere in between. We go down under to talk to my pal Joe Drake from the New York Times. He's getting that front page action, would you believe it? Covering the Federer match and all the excitement there with both the men's and the women's tennis. So we'll get his impressions of the tournament and what's happening in Australia, because he actually celebrated Australia Day with all the natives there, so to speak. Also, the latest on Haiti will get you caught up on what's happening with the aid and what the real crisis is in the struggle to recover there. A new opposition to the 9/11 trials in New York City on the rise. As you know, I'm passionate about this since I lived in New York when 9/11 happened and was on the air on WFAN, so I have some thoughts that I'll share with you on that as well. But right here from the get-go, boy, we've been talking about healthcare reform on this show for a long time, and what we think should happen, but what certainly is not happening in the current form of possible legislation that we've seen from the Senate and from the House. Somebody else who's passionate about that, a dentist from Dallas, Dr. Steve Brown, who grew up in a medical family and knows all too well from an early age in the discussions about medicine and insurance and getting medicine to people and all that sort of stuff and getting coverage to people. He certainly has his own thoughts, plus the whole dental thing. You know, I know people that have terrible teeth and they're skipping the dentist deal because whatever the little extra is, they don't want to pay it because they can't afford their premiums already. Dr. Steve, thanks for coming on to America Tonight right from the get-go. We appreciate it.
Hi, Kate. Great to be with you.
Let's talk about it first from the dental end. You and I talked off the air, and it is true. Sadly, I know people that just skip the whole dentist thing, and then they find that they need a root canal, or they've neglected their teeth, and they have to have deep cleaning, and they haven't gone to the dentist for however many years, and they regret the decision to not pick up the dental insurance, but for some reason in their heads, they think, well, I'm saving a little bit of money here because the specific coverage that my company is giving me is just a little too high for my blood, too rich for my blood. Do you hear these kind of stories, and do you see this happening?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I have a little bit a different take on the dental insurance than the whole health care reform, which is really a health care insurance issue. And the way I see dental insurance, you know, people are not going to go bankrupt with a dental problem. And it is really unfortunate that people put off their care. But the great thing about dentistry is that you can, you know, get a temporary fix if you have an emergency. Maybe you can take a tooth out or something like that. It may not be ideal, but you can then save your money and you can do something like an implant or something. So you can restore your condition. And what I tell patients that talk to me about dental insurance is I tell them, look, the best thing you can do is go ahead and form your own insurance with dentistry and essentially just put some money aside every month like you would if you were paying an insurance company. And if you do that over the course of 20 or 30 years like you would if you were doing that with a, you know, dental insurance, but, you know, over that period of time, you'll get whatever dental care you want, and after 30 or 40 years, you'll have plenty of money left over to go on a vacation or use in retirement or something like that. So I think dental insurance is a little bit different animal than the health care insurance.
Oh, but that was some great advice. I'd never heard about that. I've never heard it put that way before, because I still think, and you know this as a dentist, I still think sometimes it's silly that people don't get the cleanings, because if they would just get the cleanings, they wouldn't have all the problems that they have down the end of the road. But I like your idea about forming it yourself. That's a great idea, Doc.
Well, thank you. I do agree. You're totally right, because as far as prevention, you know, with dentistry, we really have a good handle on it. I feel really blessed to be a dentist because I can actually fix problems. And in my father was a physician, or is a physician, and essentially, you know, you can do a phenomenal job as a physician and you still may not fix the problem. But in dentistry, we can usually fix these problems, you know, 98-99% of the time. So when people put things off, they're really just creating bigger and bigger problems, which they don't need to do, especially if they neglect their mouth and they get infection, because those infections can lead to systemic problems.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
All sorts of serious problems.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's dive into health care. It's really health insurance reform. Let's face it, that's what it basically is. So Obama gives the State of the Union speech the other night and pushes and touts the whole health bill thing. But right now, there is a, I'll call it a log jam at this point, which I personally think is a good thing, because I'm not for either the Senate form or for the form that's in the House, or even melding of the two. What are your thoughts on health insurance reform?
Well, I think you've labeled it correctly. That's what we're talking about, is health insurance reform. And I think that it's important for people to understand that, because it's not health care reform. But I think to actually tackle this issue correctly and thoroughly, we're going to have to get to the point where people understand that they are accountable, responsible, or perhaps empowered for their own health care. I think that's the beginning of any policy and of any solution. You know, we've got all sorts of problems with the process that we've seen, and the product that we've been, you know, presented by the Senate and the House. But the solutions are out there. And if you begin with, you know, empowering the individual, you know, you can basically do things that will reward behavior that you know, encourages health. You know, there's parts of our health that we have no control over. You know, diseases that you know, multiple sclerosis or diabetes or certain diseases that may affect us from genetics or other reasons. But there are aspects to our health care that we can control, you know, obesity, smoking, things like that. And we can create a system that gives positive rewards, maybe tax incentives, lower insurance premiums for people like that. And the thing that we're not seeing with this insurance reform is that we're not really hearing about changing the system. Right now, the system is employer-based, so your health insurance is based, it's tied to your employer. So if you get fired, if you want to move jobs, you're really concerned about whether or not you're going to lose that insurance. We've got to create a system where people can take it with them, where it's based on the individual, and that, you know, as it is now, these employers get tax credits and tax discounts, but the individual doesn't. So we need to create a system where the individual can get tax credits for the money that they spend on their health insurance.
Wow, so well said. We only have a couple minutes left, but I think there should be more input, too, from the doctors. There wasn't that much input, to be honest. I talked to enough people on the Hill, and with this trying to ram it through, I think it would be good to discuss ideas, and more of this would come out. Don't you think, Doc?
Oh, there's no doubt. I think you're exactly right. I mean, one of the biggest problems is that you mentioned it. They're trying to push this thing through so rapidly, and this is a complex problem. It's going to affect everyone in this country. So what we need to do is we need to slow down, and we need to try to do something right rather than something now. And you're exactly right. I was just speaking to a physician who ran a medical school in Texas, and you know, he was talking to me about the same issue. Look, they're not talking to the experts. They need to seek out the experts in the field and get their opinion and see what can be done to try to improve the system. And there's a lot of things that can be done to improve the system that we have.
Boy, no kidding. I think you nailed it. Something right instead of something now. Dr. Steve, thanks for joining us on ATN.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. January 28, 2010. Gold opened this morning at 10.8910. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 11.1904, 5.5902 for a half ounce, or 2.7976 for the quarter ounce. That's 11.1904, 5.5902, or 2.7976.
On June 4th, 1963, Executive Order 11,110 was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With a stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
All right, it's all about getting it right. President in the State of the Union address, by the way. What were the ratings like for the State of the Union? Actually down a little bit, if you want to call it down. 48 million people watched this time. You know, slowly it's decreased when Obama's gone on TV because he has had several of those primetime speeches. And the ratings, as I checked earlier in the day, show that the viewership for the first official address slipped just a little bit compared to last year's telecast. So 48 million viewers, 11 networks, if we broke it down that way. The president's speech declined 8% from his address to the joint session of Congress. Remember, that was last February. The numbers also... It's fun to look at these. The numbers also below the first official State of the Union address made by George W. Bush, which was 51.8 million. But that was in 2002, and it was right on the heels of the 9/11 terrorist attack. It was right after that. Speaking of numbers, coming up a little bit later in the show, we can count. There are plenty of numbers to go around, and we're going to talk about them. And as we move from place to place, and I mentioned this, having lived in New Jersey and New York when, sadly, the World Trade Towers went down, the opposition now suddenly to the government's plan to hold the terrorist trial in New York City is intensifying, if you will. I love this, too. Mayor Bloomberg was the guy who was like, oh, yeah, we're going to try him here. He was in front of the microphones, gave his little news clips all over the place. He was played all over the place. He was backing it up. Now, suddenly, he has changed his mind and hopes the trial would be held elsewhere. Really? Because he actually thought about it, sat and listened to a few people who tried to tell him what a nightmare it's going to be, and the security costs, of course. So Congressman Pete King said that he's introduced a bill that would prohibit the use of the Justice Department funds to try Guantanamo detainees in federal civilian courts. However, not too long after that left his lips. In fact, hours later, the gov of the Big Apple of New York said he wants discussion with the feds on the issue of venue. Remember, it was last month that the Obama administration announced, Attorney General Eric Holder announced, that professed September 11th mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others would be tried in federal court in Lower Manhattan. A ridiculous, outrageous decision. I do not understand. To be honest, a lot of New Yorkers, even the most liberal ones I know, underneath their breath, secretly, they don't want it either. So now you have the very liberal Mike Bloomberg saying, because he is really pretty liberal, saying that he doesn't want it either. The New York congressman called it one of the worst decisions ever made by any president, said the terror suspect should be tried by military commissions. I concur 100%. So Bloomberg now is on the bat line, the hotline to the AG Holder to lobby for moving the trial outside of Lower Manhattan. He said he hadn't spoken to him about his change of heart, but he's had a change of heart. And remember, and I can clearly remember hearing the words, he was the guy who said it's fitting, this is a quote, a direct quote, it's fitting that the 9/11 suspects face justice near the World Trade Center site where so many New Yorkers were murdered, which I thought was outrageous in thinking of the security concerns and what possibility of that trial would mean in the eyes of people who look at that as a rallying cry for more jihadism, let's face it. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about recruiting. It's about numbers. So the mayor reversed from what he said in November and said there would be better places that would be less expensive for the taxpayers and less disruptive for the city. In addition, six senators on Tuesday wrote to Holder, urged him to abandon the idea. They're not going to abandon that idea. I hate to tell you that. It's not happening. So the letter basically said you'll be providing them one of the most visible, my point, platforms in the world to exalt their past acts, absolutely, and to rally others in support of further terrorism. Duh! Why always are the politicians going back later? Why didn't Bloomberg and why didn't those senators really think it out before they jumped on the bandwagon months ago in support of this? So it's signed by Joe Lieberman, John McCain, Blanche Lincoln, Susan Collins, Jim Webb, Lindsey Graham. So contingency plans, what would they be? Apparently, even the Justice Department is incredibly concerned, and they are considering places, or they're looking at places other than New York to hold the trial. They're denying that they were asked to do that by the White House, but that kind of leaked out that they were asked about that, and they said it would just as something they would do, that they would be unwise not to look at contingency plans. And the governor says he's certain New York City will be safe, but he thinks there should be a discussion with the feds over whether to move the trial. So what say you, America? What do you think we should try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his gang of thugs? The money, it's just got to think of New York. The immense amount of do-re-mi you need, the incredible traffic tie-ups, I mean, the economic development in that area. I spent plenty of time down there. Trust me, it'll be the worst place to go. It'll be the worst place to get off the subway. It'll be the worst place to try to go have lunch, dinner, anything, the whole Wall Street area. And that's money. And it's all about the money in Manhattan. There's still a rebuilding phase in that area. And I think that it's going to I already know. It's upsetting a lot of New Yorkers, even the thought of it. But the whole public safety issue, just take it from that. Forget all the, even the politics aside. Come on, public safety, trying to cordon this whole area off, lock it down, snipers on the roofs, that's ridiculous. The idea was a dumb one to begin with. And I was so, I guess I shouldn't have been, but I was surprised initially when Bloomberg jumped on this right away to say that it would just be great because New Yorkers could just wave their fists and say, ha, this is where our city was raked over the coals and people were killed and, you know, we are getting our comeuppance by seeing their faces, seeing them tried in a courtroom not far from the World Trade Center site. But it's really the opposite. It's really, more than anything, it's a huge platform in the world, period. It's all going to be all over the papers. I mean, it's a layup. It's a layup that Al Jazeera and everywhere else will just be talking about this. And I'm sure we'll get some kind of a audio clip from Osama bin Laden about how, beware, that there is sure to be some kind of a terror act taking place to represent what's happening with the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the others for their brave acts or whatever. Some kind of nonsense spewing from the evil volcano, thanks to, in fact, the huge platform they're going to be given. So I don't understand why that ever happened in the first place. Now, I guess, will it be a reversal? I mean, that's a good question. I don't know that Eric Holder will back down off of this. Perhaps it'll be someplace else in New York. It could be someplace else in New York, an easier place to shore up the area with security, not have to pay the kind of money you'd have to pay for Manhattan and cause the disruptions. But then you're going to have the problem of the people in whatever area you choose. I guarantee they're not going to want it there either. So this is far from over, this argument of where to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his band of merry men. It really could still end up in the lap of Manhattan. It still could be a problem for Mayor Bloomberg. Let's hope that cooler heads prevail and in the interim some different ideas are tossed about and ultimately it doesn't end up being the circus that it's sure to be and for how long it will take to go through, you know, from the jury selection on down, to go through a trial process. You're talking about a long time locking up that area. And you have not just Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, all the others who would have to be tried as well. That's why the time would really start to add up. All right, coming up on the flip side, some more odds and ends. What's happening across America? Son of a Las Vegas gunman arrested in Tennessee. And also, DA says a wife lied to try to get the baby off of life support. Have you heard that story? We'll give you the ugly skinny on that one. Stay with us.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today. Wow.
I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Belly, Beer Belly. 50 months away from me, you know why? I don't find this stuff amusing no more. If you be my bodyguard, I could be your long lost pal.
I still like this song, so we let it roll a little bit. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You can flip your thoughts, rather, at americatonight.net or throw your 2 cents in, 800-259-5791. And honestly, do you think that they're going to move this terror trial out of New York City after all the bravado about holding it there? And having it just stones throw away from where the World Trade Centers stood, the two towers? Or do you think they'll just push through and decide, no, we're going to burrow in, we're going to dig in deep, and we're going to hold it here? In the end, with enough arm twisting, I wouldn't be stunned to see it move. But I think that there are going to be people that complain wherever it's moved. It's kind of like the whole prison thing for the terror suspects from Guantanamo. First it's Kansas, and then the people in Kansas at Leavenworth don't like the idea. And then there were a couple of other places that were suggested as possibilities for housing those inmates. And, boy, the people were not happy once it would pop up into the papers. And in Illinois, it's a mixed bag, because actually at Thompson, they desperately... It's such a small area. They desperately need the jobs, and there would be jobs if the prison is, in fact, redone, because they'd have to remake certain parts of that prison to be able to house them. But that was kind of a mixed bag and kind of a give back to the people of Illinois from the Chicago folks in the White House. So not as many protests for Thompson as some of the other proposed sites. I think what happens if there are some other areas that are going to be discussed about the terror trial, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the others, where to move it, I think you will find that people will not be too thrilled about it wherever it is it moves. And here's the thing. Do you really think you're going to get a fair trial in New York, anywhere in New York, after the way those everybody's lives were ripped apart, tore the heart out of New York and out of the country? If, I don't know if Lady Justice is completely blind, they say, but I think it'd be tough going through trying to pick an impartial jury. Mm-hmm. Good luck. I have to throw this in since we're kind of moving all over the place. That's what our Thursday/Friday shows are for. And I wanted to make sure that I got this out. I love this. Opportunity has come a knocking to GM, and finally they're smart enough to take advantage of it. Since Toyota is in this weird position where they've had all these recalls because of the accelerator problem, their nemesis, GM, is trying to jump in the chasm, fill in the blanks. So what they're going to do, General Motors, this is like one of the most innovative things they've done lately, said that they're going to give owners of Toyota cars and trucks $1,000 or free financing if they buy one of the GM makes of models, whatever it is, anything GM. So Toyota's decision to suspend the sales of all 8 models in the U.S. was a huge setback for really the Japanese firm that was just kicking the pants off of GM and the other automakers, the U.S. automakers. But the 2.3 million cars being recalled, and then the 4.2 million in the U.S. that began last year because of the loose floor mats jamming the pedals. Yeah, there have been a lot of problems. You know, the car, if you get the right cars, like the Camrys, they will run until the wheels fall off. But at the same time, when they're running, you don't want to get in a car accident because your accelerator's stuck and all of a sudden you're surging ahead. There may be people that jump on this GM deal, get the $1,000, whatever, or take the other deal for free financing. And that was smart. It's smart to try and convince some people that, you know, hey, why not pick up a GM now? We'll see if it works. I mean, we'll keep tabs on the flow at some of the dealerships across the country. Speaking of flow, there is no flow here. This is just a very sad, sad story. I said the headline that the son of a Las Vegas gunman was arrested in Tennessee. Well, the rest of the story is this 37-year-old ex-convict, his name is Richard Earl Nelson, was held by a U.S. magistrate because, you know, and taken into custody because of the threats, the alleged threats and a probation violation in another case. But he is the son of a man killed when he opened fire at a Las Vegas courthouse and finally picked up after numerous death threats. So Nelson is the son of Johnny Lee Wicks, and he is the 66-year-old ex-convict that was killed literally, I mean, just like the Wild West. Picture, if you will, your downtown federal building. I mean, he was killed in a gun battle in the federal building in downtown Vegas this month. I used to live in Vegas, and, you know, there were times when it felt like the Wild, Wild West, and certainly that would be one of them. And It's interesting with the Carter thing. In initial reports from the Marshals Service, they said that Nelson had threatened to blow up. Oh, it's always bad. It's going to be worse for him. Had threatened to blow up the Memphis Federal Building, and now they're trying to backtrack and say, oh no, he didn't mess with anyone. That was just a miscommunication. So he did a state prison sentence, was in the joint for 4 years. He was working a couple of jobs, and now his family is, they're trying to trying to come to his aid. That whole thing about the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, though, has got him in a wicked position. And the threats, when you're in that spot, when you've come out of jail and you've got, you know, you've got probation that you're supposed to meet, you're supposed to meet your probation officer, etc., and then you do something like that, boy, you are just asking for it, just asking for it. And by the way, in the Vegas shootout, Wicks mortally wounded a courthouse security guard and wounded a deputy U.S. Marshal. Sad. All right, so we move from that story to a couple of other things making news across the country. And I mentioned this one. This is a very sad, sad, sad story. I promise we're going to lighten the load here. By the way, because we have Nail the Score coming up in our third hour. You choose either the AFC or the NFC. We don't even need a computer. It's either AFC, NFC, and what you think the final score is going to be. Then, of course, next week we have the Super Bowl, and that wraps up Nail the Score. So you have two chances to win our fabulous prizes. A New York City woman pretended to be a hospital administrator, called an emergency room, tried to get the hospital to take the baby of her husband's mistress off life support. Another twisted story. And the woman's name is Keisha Jones. She was originally charged last year in a plot to kill the baby. She pled not guilty to attempted murder, attempted abortion, and other charges in a new indictment. And, of course, her defense attorney is saying that, you know, his client hasn't done anything wrong, and, you know, they're basically charging attempted murder by a phone call, and there was never any chance that baby was going to be harmed. But prosecutors say that they ordered Jones ordered a drug that could cause an abortion, then tricked the girlfriend into picking it up, taking it with a phone call, pretending to be someone from her obstetrician's office. The baby was born 2 months early, but somehow survived. Boy, how the kid survived after all of that. And then they tried again. Once again, she tried posing as the baby's mother, sent a man to the hospital with two bottles of tainted liquid, saying it was breast milk, instructed nurses to feed it to the baby, but the hospital staff knew something was up. They called the police, and the rest is history for now. The baby, the good news, is healthy. Whew. And like I said, another twisted tale. I mean, these aren't fairy tales. First, we go to the crazy nonsense with the guy and his father, and as I said, the son of the Vegas gunman arrested in Tennessee, and his threats to blow up a courthouse in Memphis, and then this whole thing of trying to get the baby off life support, and this wife accused of targeting the infant of her husband's mistress to the point of sending someone in a twisted scam with tainted liquid, saying it was breast milk, and trying to pass it off to the nurses. You got to think that the hospital is not stupid. Oh, look here, I've got some breast milk to deliver. Right. I have a feeling she's going to pay dearly for that. And as I mentioned, luckily the child is the innocent victim in this whole thing. Luckily, the child is okay. Speaking of victims, we move to Haiti coming up next. And what's happened now is the days tick away. The hardest thing, I think, is the amputees, because where are they going to get these prosthetics? And they need a lot of them. As you know, we had a doctor on who went to Haiti and told us about trying to do whatever they could to save the limbs, but often had no choice but to amputate. So now what is life going to be like moving forward for all of these people? Stay with us. We'll talk about it next on ATN.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. See, that's 1-866-653-7333 today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
It is the new year. Life as we know it is changing. Maybe it's time to change your health habits. Life Change Tea could be your answer for better health. Rid your body of toxins and chemicals and lose weight naturally. No caffeine, great taste, and incredible results. Made in the USA and formulated by a PhD. You can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea will help balance your body and increase your energy. Life Change Tea, changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Ben Bernanke go through another four-year term as chairman of the Federal Reserve. It's too late, my friends. He won the backing of the Senate by a pretty decent margin on Thursday. I know. Lots of criticism from Congress and moments during that whole confirmation process where prospects started to seem uncertain. I would have to say it does put Ben Bernanke in a much weaker political position, and it's going to be tougher for him to somehow be the great defender of the Fed as Congress gets ready to intensify regulations and pretty much its oversight of monetary policy and curb the Fed's authority overall of our banking system. So, so the storm is gone. It's over. It's done. Four more years for a second time around as the chairman of the Federal Reserve. So a lot of people on the Hill looked at Bernanke's record and looked at a couple of things. The interest rates, they're looking at this point, the risks to the Fed's independence. Let's face it, he's the interest rate guy, to change the interest rates without any kind of political interference. And the Fed is going to be fighting a lot of action against congressional, what they would call encroachment stepping in. But I think that that's going to happen. This is not going to be an easy time for BB this time around. And it might blow over. I mean, this whole thing blows over because, hey, he's the guy now. But because of some of the things that have happened, well, for example, by the end of March, they're going to hold $1.25 trillion of mortgage securities guaranteed by our friends Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which the U.S. Treasury effectively owns and runs. So any move, I guess, as the Wall Street Journal said, I read a story earlier in the day, any move to actually reduce those holdings would probably lead to a rise in mortgage rates and could become another lightning rod. But do you agree with the Senate's decision to reconfirm Bernanke? I said this, hey, he was the man of the year on Time magazine. And I think it's kind of a mixed bag. He suddenly became a polarizing figure, and a lot of that is because of the shroud of secrecy with the federal, I think with what happens with the Federal Reserve, to be honest. And the frustration over the what happened with the banks and the bailout, you know, anytime soon, not lifting the veil and the things that, like I said, the things that happened behind the scenes, I think was a real killer to Bernanke's reputation. So I looked at a couple of different polls as to whether or not this was the right move, and pretty much most people said no. I mean, there were defenders, certainly. It wasn't an avalanche, but it doesn't matter. I mean, that's public opinion. So to me, I'm sorry, I lump him in with the other crooks, let's say. And once again, his position is secure. Coming up a little bit later on America Tonight in an hour coming up, if you're going to be able to stick around, we do our little cheap movie reviews, and they have a new trailer out for Wall Street 2. Do you believe it? That movie, they made it in the 80s, and Charlie Sheen was in it, and Michael Douglas. I'm looking forward to going to see it based on the trailer and based on some of the things I heard about the script. I will tell you one thing. Michael Douglas's character, Gordon Gekko, who gets out of prison and they're giving him his stuff, and he said, I heard somewhere greed is good, and now it's suddenly legal. So it is suddenly legal. And I think Ben and his friends are getting away with murder. And that goes for Tim Geithner, too, the Treasury Secretary. You saw how he squirmed when he was being asked about AIG, and I'm just not buying what he's selling. He wants desperately for everybody to believe, but, you know, I don't believe. And now I'm thinking maybe the Fed, you know, with him getting another 4 years, maybe at this point in the future, the Federal Reserve Chairman should just get one term. That's it. Bernanke actually fared better than some predicted, though. He cleared a 60-vote hurdle. The final vote, I was kind of surprised by this, was 77-23 to hold a confirmation vote, with 5 Democrats, 1 Independent, and 17 Republicans voting no. Then the Senate, of course, turned around. They had the vote 70-30 to confirm him. So In the end, it never became a question, and the whole Goldman Sachs thing and whatever, that was just shoved, to me, under the rug. So a big, big mistake. I said I would talk about the Haiti amputees. I think that's the saddest thing. You know, you see these clips and you hear the stories and, gosh, everyone's been so generous and that's all good. But now when you move forward and the dust clears and let's say you get the tent set up and the trailer set up outside of Port-au-Prince, the reality sets in that you've got a lot of people that have amputated limbs. And what about those prosthetics? Where are they going to get all of those? If you think the earthquake, let's say, round up the numbers, 200,000, injured probably much more than that. And looking for folks that were buried underneath all kinds of rubble and all kinds of buildings and whatever, there was no choice to save their lives. They had to lose you know, a foot, a leg, maybe in some cases. The estimates so far for the amputations have varied dramatically from a few thousand to more than 110,000. I would not be shocked if it was closer to 110,000. Because if you, on a conservative number guess, disaster workers say more than 75 people a day have lost limbs since the quake because of initial injuries or secondary infections, gangrene, whatever it is. And that is going to be a big, big problem. In fact, it might be the largest ever loss of limbs. So prosthetics manufacturers and suppliers and amputee advocates in the U.S. Are telling the companies, geez, you might start producing. These people are going to need ongoing care. So what's happened, and this is good because this is something specific you can do. There are groups raising money, collecting donations of used prosthetics and making plans to send teams of doctors, and, of course, they call them limb fitters and physical therapists to Haiti because that's what they're going to need. I mean, last weekend alone, they had about 300 cars that showed up that had wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and artificial limbs, and they lined up in a parking lot at the University of at the Old Dominion University in Norfolk, and I think this is terrific. The organizers, that's what they needed. So the organizers were Physicians for Peace, and they collected all this stuff and sent it to Haiti because, really, honestly, this is what they're going to desperately need. How can they get around? I mean, they need something to move around with. They don't have the feet. In some cases, you see the kids. It's very, very sad, but you got to move beyond sad and hopefully get enough either walkers, wheelchairs, prosthetics, whatever, to help those young kids and to help those older people, because the limbs cost maybe $4,000 to $6,000 per amputee. And a new amputee, if you've ever seen stories on this or know anybody, you probably have a couple of fittings a year to make sure it's comfortable and works, because it can get worn down or doesn't fit right. So, you know, these people, that's what they're going to need, somebody to help them adjust the way they walk and help them with their body movements to use the limbs. Crazy. First, you got to survive. Then you got to figure out how you can move forward with getting food and setting up houses. And then, of course, the devastation with all the amputees and how are they going to even get around. Talking about survival. I'm going to leave you with this one. I say it at least once every show. I'm certain of it. Don't be afraid to take the road less traveled, because I got to tell you, my friends, it's much more interesting.